Amen. This morning I will not be long. I'm not a long-winded preacher. Never have been. And I don't expect God to heal me this morning. Amen. I came here loaded up with a message, but about 4 o'clock this morning, the Lord woke me up. And I got a word that's probably not going to be the word you might have been expecting. I don't know what you're expecting. But I got a word that's for this congregation and for somebody in this congregation. If you truly believe in the resurrected power of our Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care what you're going through in your life today. I don't know what you're facing in your life today. But the Lord sent me by, woke me up. I got to tell somebody today, as we celebrate and you go through the whatever you're going through this weekend, for me to tell you that God has got everything under control in your life, no matter what it is in your life that you are facing. Amen. And if you leave with a made up mind today, God said you're going to leave out of here different than you came this morning. And I want to go to 1 Samuel 30. 50 years. You made it because of you and God. But God's not done with this church. Pastor Wayne, God has put you here for a reason and a season. And his theme for this 50-year celebration had to do with, I believe, courage to conquer. And that's where I want to go this morning as a church, as we move past 50 years. Are you ready to do what needs to do to conquer and go and receive things back in your life? In 1 Samuel, David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop and shall overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Verse 18, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his 2 wives. And that's not for today now, brethren. Amen. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither son nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them, but David recovered all. We're children of God. I heard the young minister of music a while ago said, we're Pentecostal. And Pentecostal is possible because of the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ and him going away and sending back a comforter. Hallelujah. But you look at our world today, what do you see? It's gone crazy. And you better have God. And you better have the power of the Holy Spirit. And you better have a determined mind that you're going to go through all the way no matter what. Amen. And in this scripture, David and them were going through some things in their life. There's some times in your life that things will come to you that you will not understand. But that does not mean that God has left you or forsaken you, but that he is still there. Brother Reed, I got to looking at this, and I need to ask you a question. I love to tell this story. And is it okay to move this little tray around right here? And I'm going to mess something up just sure there's a God in heaven. Amen. I haven't preached this finer in a long time. Amen. And have you ever had anything taken from you by someone else? On different occasions. 2 different occasions. Somebody came in to me and this beautiful redhead's. Wow, isn't that lady beautiful? I forgot to say anything about you, baby, right in the middle of this message. The Lord just checked me. I didn't say one stinking thing about you. That's the most beautiful redheaded woman on the face of God's green earth. Amen. She got that beautiful red hair, got sparkling eyes. She makes my heart skip a beat. She puts a twinkle in my eye. She's the red in my Kool-Aid, and she's the peanut in my Snickers bar. Amen. That's her right there. Amen. And on 2 different occasions, we've had somebody come into our house and take things from us that did not belong to them. I remember one time they came to my house, and Brother Wayne, they stole my briefcase. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? They stole my briefcase. And I thought, God, that's cold to steal a preacher's briefcase. Why are they stealing a man of God's briefcase? Well, he stole my briefcase. Not only did he steal my briefcase, but I got to do an inventory. Brother Millick, did I say it right? Millick. Not only did he steal my briefcase, but then he stole my Bible, Brother Earl, that was in that briefcase. And that's downright cold of a man to steal a man of God's Bible. Amen? And not only did he steal my briefcase, and not only did he steal my Bible, but then I found out he stole five of my sermon outlines that I'd stole from somebody and just took off with them. Amen? And not only did he steal my Bible, and not only did he steal my briefcase, and not only did he steal my five sermon outlines that I stole from somebody, but then he stole my grandfather's pocket watch. Not only did he stop there, he went into my closet, violated me, went into my closet and got two of my designer suits from Jacques Pinet and stole them off the racks, J.C. Penney. And then he stole two pairs of my shoes, and he just kept going through my house stealing stuff. And I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, I remembered. I said, well, he might be still in the house. Amen. And I got nervous. And I said, my wife kept saying, what's going on? What's going on? I said, stay in the car. Don't worry about it. Stay in the car. Don't worry about it. And, man, she stayed in the car, and she was asking questions and riding my just blah, 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 blah. And I said, stay here. Something is happening in our life. And all of a sudden, I'm going to go in there, and I'm doing the inventory. I'm going to another room, and I'm going to be a macho man, Brother Wayne. And I reared back, and I was going to let the guy, if he was in the room, know I was coming. And I reared back and kicked the door. And when I did, it went flying back and hit the little doorstop and came back and hit me in the nose and about knocked me out. And I thought, this is crazy. I could get killed in here. But the story, he stole things out of our possession that did not belong to him. I never got back one thing that he stole from me. But I've been sent by on this great weekend of celebration of the power of the Lord of Jesus Christ. That's not how it is in the spiritual world with our Lord. When the enemy comes into your place to kill, steal, and destroy, because of the power of resurrection, you can stand up on the authority of God and the blood of Jesus Christ and go walking on his territory and bring back your possessions. And the Lord sent me all the way up here on this glorious weekend to tell somebody he's got your victory if you will trust him, if you're released to him, if you'll believe in him. God said he's got it today. Amen. Woo! My God in heaven, I feel the Lord in here. I didn't plan to go this wild this quick. Amen. Never got anything back from him. And I want you to hear me out today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your battle is. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know where the circumstance that you're at and the enemy may be playing on your mind this weekend, but you hear me. Just like David, I've been sent up here to tell somebody today, don't look at the things around you in the world. Don't get caught up in all the stuff that's going on. I don't care if it's fake news, some kind of news, made up news. I've been sent by with the glorious good news of the gospel on this day that there's still power in the name of Jesus. I wish I could sing like this crowd around here. You know what I sing right now? I sing, whoa, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I've been sent up here to tell somebody there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's recovery in the blood of Jesus. There's hope in the blood of Jesus. There's salvation in the blood of Jesus. And whatever your need is today, God is here for you. Amen. Somebody praise God when I drink water. Hallelujah. Glory. I feel it in the house. I feel my help in the house. Hallelujah. And then this scripture said, and it goes where David came back home to Ziklag. When he gets back down to Ziklag, the world's turned upside down. Enemies come in and stolen their wives, their children, their possessions. Everything that they had, they came in and took it away from them. And while they were there, a process began to happen. See, what happened was, in that process, when they get back, I know you're streaming this, but can I come down here? Or do you ever let me stay right up here? All right. I'm going to obey those old men in the Lord today. Amen. And when you get to going, and when you think the world's upside down, and when David looked, they got their everything gone, what did they do? They start crying, weeping. They cried until they couldn't cry anymore. I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but you've been going through a struggle, and you have been crying, and you have been weeping. And matter of fact, I don't even know if you can bring tears to your eyes anymore or not over the situation that you're in, but my God is here today to bring that peace and comfort to you. And they cried, and they were miserable, and they got mad, and they said, let's stone David. And David didn't need to be stoned. He's not the one that did it. He didn't do anything wrong. If they'd have done what they told him to do to begin with and killed all the Amalekites, they wouldn't be in the mess that they were in, but they didn't listen to God, and they didn't do what he told them to do. And whatever situation you're in today, if you'd have listened to God the first time he talked to you, you probably wouldn't be in the mess that you're in today. But that doesn't mean God doesn't love you and won't bring you back out of that mess. Amen. And in all this, they said, what are we going to do? And David said, you do what you want to do, but I'm going to do something. I'm not going to sit here anymore. And if we truly believe, and if you truly believe that the Lord is a risen Savior and has all power in heaven and in earth, why are you sitting around in the condition that you're in and just basically having a pity party in your life? Because God is still powerful and miraculous today. Amen. And David said, I'm not going to sit here and cry, but I'm going to get up and do something about it. And he did. He said, I am going after my possessions. It's time for somebody in the house to get determined that I'm going after my son. I'm going after my daughter. I'm going after my health. I'm going after my joy. I'm going after my anointing. My God, I feel him in the house. Hallelujah. I'd take off running right now if I was afraid I wouldn't pull a muscle. Hallelujah. And David said, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go. But he had to do something before he could go get something. He couldn't stay in the condition that he was in. You can't stay in the condition that you're in on this Friday. You got to change. You got to be willing to release it to God and say, God, you take it and do what you want to do with it. Amen. It's not mine anyway, God. It belongs to you, God. And David said, I'm going to do something about it. Before he did, he had to do something. And he read over there, down there in verse 6, what did it say he did? It said, David got up and encouraged himself in the Lord. Did you read that the way I read it? It said, Brother Glenn, he encouraged himself. He did it himself in the Lord. He didn't wait on some big, powerful singer to come by and encourage him. He didn't wait on T.D. Jakes to come by and say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. He didn't wait on Joel Osteen to tell him something out there. He didn't wait on the Brooklyn Choir to sing for him. He did it himself. Amen. I feel like a preacher I read about that on a Sunday. He preached a bad message, and he got ready to quit on Monday. But before he did, he went over to his office to try to find a song or a tape that would just pick his spirits up, and he couldn't find anything. He said he got over and he got to looking in his office and said all of a sudden said he found a little old tape that he had preached about 9 months ago and he'd forgot about. He said he took that tape and put it in that little player. Said he started playing his own preaching and his own sermon. And said all of a sudden it began to feel good. Said he kept on getting a little bit better, and he stood up and he raised his hands. Said he got a little bit better. He began to shout around there with the power of God. Said he got better. Said he just got to running around his little office. And said basically he ended up encouraging himself so much in the Lord that he turned around and wrote himself a $100 check. Amen. Sometime. You just got to do it yourself. It's already inside of you. Quit waiting on somebody else. If the resurrection power and the blood of Jesus is inside of you, get up and encourage yourself in the Lord and say, today is my day. This is my time. This is my hour. I'm going to get back whatever it is I need through the Lord's power. And David gets to going after it. My God in heaven. Church, we need to be the church. We need to be real. We need to be after it. We need to be ministering to this world. This world is dying and hurting, and this world is going to hell. Last night, I had the opportunity on a 15-minute cab ride to a super drug to get some Tums that was burning my guts up. Amen. I went up there and I had a guy driving. He said, "What do you do?" I said, "I am a minister." He said, "What do you do as a minister?" I said, "I declare the power of Jesus, and I go around the world helping people understand that there's a better way." I said, "What are you?" He said, "I'm Pakistanian." I said, "Well, glory to God." I said, "You ever heard of the Church of God?" He said, "No, sir, I haven't." I said, "We're in 184 countries around the world with 15 million people that attend our church." And I said, "Because of this weekend of Jesus and the celebration, whether you know about it or not, there is a God and there is a power that is able to transform lives." He said, "Brother, I believe you're a good man and you're a blessing people." Hallelujah. I thought, what an opportunity we have in this world. But we come to church. This church is not done. This church has just celebrated 50 years. But I've been sent here to tell you, if you're willing to get up and stay hungry and go after it, that your latter years are going to be greater than your first 50 years. And God is going to fill this place up. There's going to be sons and daughters and people from every walk of life coming in here if you believe that you can get after the power of God. Amen. He'd be like, "David, get after it. Come on, church. You be the church. This is your time. Quit trying to be someone else. They're all taken. Just be you." Amen. It's time for us to be authentic in the church. It's time for us to live what we say we believe. It's time for us to do what we say we believe. It's time to act what we say we believe. It's time we go back and claim the principles that God had laid in our hearts through the foundation of the Word of God. Amen. My God, it's time to be real. I'm tired of all these phony people. Be real. If you're wearing a three-piece suit like Brother Kevin, be real. If you're wearing a sport coat, open collar like Brother Earl, be real. If you wear a pair of skinny jeans, my Lord, be real. Of course, I got a saying on skinny jeans, anybody over 200 pounds, not a candidate. Amen. Hallelujah. Be real. It's time that the church, when they're coming in here, brother, we're trying to be all things to all people, and we're not doing anything for anybody. Just serving ourselves and feeling good in the house of God. Do you actually think that God was crucified, buried, rose again, just so we could come here to feel good? Oh, God, I didn't expect any shouting right here. No, sirree, he did it because we need to be like David. We, as a church, we're going to take over our communities. We're going to flood in our communities. We're going to wash the feet of our community. We're going to preach the Word of God. When people come in these doors at any service you have, they come through there broken. They come through there beaten. They come through there addicted. They come through there hurting. They come through there trying to make ends meet from Sunday to Wednesday. They trying to make ends meet from Wednesday to Sunday. They're trying to get it. And I think it's time that we proclaim the resurrected Word of God in our church and in our lives, in our presence. If it's sin, call it sin. And I want you to know it's time that we get back to the basics of what we're all about. Amen. My God in heaven, we're Pentecostal. You said we're Pentecostal. Are you Pentecostal? I'm Pentecostal. Man, I come from an old school church. Somebody go there today and scare them to death. Old school church, we had about 15 mothers sit right over here. And when we'd come in on any service, those mothers had been praying. You'd walk in the door, any door you wanted to pick. When you walked in, something would hit you in the back of your head. You'd go like, "Oh, God, what is that? Hair standing up on the back of my head." It was called the Shekinah glory and presence of a risen Lord and Savior. Those little old grannies had already been together praying over the issues. They got to praying, "My Lord," they were Sister Lee. There were Sister Childers. There was Sister Ballard. There was all these sisters over there. And they'd be looking at one another. And man, that's the reason I am what I am. Don't you quit and don't give up on your children. Don't you stop on it. You go after them. Because I was a knothead 17-year-old teenager running from God. And a Sister Ballard got in my face and prophesied over me and scared the living daylights out of me. They'd be having church. And you'd come in there and you'd feel it. And And I remember on one occasion, Brother Wayne, I was dating this little blonde head. That's before I met her now. Clear that up right away. And I was dating this little blonde head. She didn't know nothing about Pentecost. I was ashamed of it. I thought we'd about half crazy around there. We'd get to talking and jumping. This was mild this morning. And she said, I want to go to your church since we're getting serious about getting married. I went, whoa, 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 what'd you say? I ain't talking that stuff. Because I knew there's a redhead coming. Amen. And she said, I want to go to your church. I said, you don't want to go to my church. She was First Reformed something that I don't really know. I'd go to her church, and it was a great service. They'd sing a couple of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm not making fun. I said, stop. And a guy, he'd preach. He'd stand right there flat-footed and preach 15 minutes. He'd go home. Man, we'd beat all the churches to the restaurants. I loved it. And she said, I want to go to your church. I said, you don't want to go to my church. She said, yeah, I do. So I made a very tactical error and mistake. I took her to my church on Sunday night. And back there at that old school church, Sunday morning was, it was sort of crazy in the spirit. But Sunday night, man, it was like a WWF Monday Night Smackdown around there. I mean, bam, 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 it's all over. It was on. And I took her on a Sunday night. We go walking in. When I did, I felt something on the back of my neck. Pow, it just picked up. And I said, oh, my God, those little grannies over there. Sure enough, there's over there. One of them was speaking in tongues. The other laying hands on. They was already having church 20 minutes before church started. Man, they had that thing fired up. Amen. And we got in there that night, and we started having church, Brother Wayne. My Uncle Frank was a song director. He really couldn't carry a tune in a 55-gallon drum, but he was only brave enough to get up there and lead them. Amen. And he got to singing, I tell the world how Jesus saved me. I tell the world he set me free. I tell the world how Jesus saved me. Woo! There they went. They got to going on there, and then they got on one. They got to singing it, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. They got to singing that, and there it went again. Boom. They got up there and they got on one called the Good Old Gospel Ship. You got to know about a Church of God redback hymnal. I never did understand it. Still don't to this day. Didn't have no theology in it, I don't think. But it said, I've got good news to bring, and that's why I sing. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to take a trip on the good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. When they got to that song, all I can tell you was a major explosion took place in the worship service, praising God. Brother Earl, we had a guy that we used to call Lawnmower Man. And we nicknamed these guys, the teenagers did. And we called him Lawnmower Man. And some of you probably got nicknames too, amen. And we called him Lawnmower Man because all of a sudden, he would stand up and like an old rope lawnmower that you used to have to pull on real hard, not one of these power deals. He'd get up. And all of a sudden, he'd go, glory, glory, glory. And then he'd get that lawnmower started. Glory, 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 glory. And he'd take off around that place. And all of a sudden, there'd be a line following him around there. The power of God, just freedom and demonstration. And people worshiping God and loving God and honoring God and worshiping God. And my little date looked at me and said, what is going on? I said, put your head down. It's going to be all right. Amen. It got higher. She peeked up again and she said, I can't figure out what's going on. I said, put your head down. It's going to be all right in about 10 minutes. Amen. It carried on around there and somebody came and got me. And they said, you have been running from the Lord long enough. God died for you, shed his blood for you, and he's ready to set you free. And he jerked me up out of my seat, whoever it was, brought me down to the men's side of the altar. The ladies over there, that's old school now, they jumped on me and they prayed me through. They beat me, I believe. They pat me on the back. They got me by the back of the head. They did everything they did, but they would not let me up out of that place. And they prayed me through to, I said, I accept you, Lord. I believe in you, Lord. Save me, Lord. Sanctify me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. And man, all of a sudden I knew that something had happened in my life. And all of a sudden I started coming out of the spirit and came to myself. And I said, oh God, what's happened to my little girl from Belton, South Carolina? I turned around and I looked. She was about right where Red Hat Lady is sitting back here. I turned around and looked. She was gone. I said, oh God, we have scared this poor girl to death. And she's run back 10 miles to tell her mom and daddy there's a bunch of nuts at the corner of McDuffie Street and River Street in Anderson, South Carolina. Stay away from me. They'll do you mindly harm. Amen. Hallelujah. But all of a sudden, I heard war over in the women's side. I went over there and I poked around on the women's side and I looked. I rubbed my eyes and I looked again. And there that little blonde-haired girl was laid back on her back with both hands up in the air, speaking in an unknown heavenly language as the Spirit gives the utterance full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling somebody, if you want to change the situation, get God's power involved in it. If you want it to shift where you are, get God's power involved in it. If you want God to move in your family, in your life, let God's Holy Ghost power work in your life and recover the things that belong to you, child of God. God, amen. Woo, stand. Oh God, I feel Him in the house this morning. I feel that power of Jesus in this place. I feel His glory all over this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, be real. West Toronto, 50th birthday, going forward, be real. Get up and get after your sons. Don't give up on them. Get up and go after your daughters. Don't give up on them. Get up and go after the family. Don't give up on them. We're here to celebrate of what God can do in our lives. And Pastor, I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart at 4 o'clock this morning, but it's for somebody in this house to tell you that God is nowhere near finished with you and what He has put you here to do. But I want to know, are you serious today? There's some things you're going to fight for. This is not about bunnies and Easter egg hunts. We're in a war. There are forces and elements in our world that are coming to stand against this word. There are situations that's coming that you may have persecution, but you're going to have to know where you stand and who you stand with. And you're going to have to fight. You got to roll your sleeves up and just, we're talking about eternity here, boys and girls. We're talking about children. We're talking about eternity here. And I'm at the saturation point of everybody telling us in the church and the Pentecostal world what we need to be, who we need to be. Tell you what we need to be. We need to be soldiers of the cross. Warriors for the Lord. And not give up until He comes back to take us home to be with Him. I want you to do something for me. Can I have just a general altar service? Is that okay if I do that? I'd like for the church to step out and come and stand for me, please. Come. Just come and stand. Everybody, just come on, church. Come on. Come on. We're going to have a mass corporate prayer. Just come and stand. Do you even know the song, Because He Lives, the chorus of it? Come up here. I need you to help me. I'll come back and get back to David someday, but basically David got up and went after it and got it. And you got to do the same thing. But because He lives, you're not by yourself. He's already gone before you. Can I tell somebody something? This might even be a tweeting moment for somebody. We all like to live up here on the mountain. But in our walk of life, there's going to be valleys, there's going to be mountains, there's going to be valleys, there's going to be mountains. But I got to tell somebody that's in the valley right now struggling through something, you got to trust your valley as much as you trust your mountain, because God is bringing you out of there. Because he lives. I want to sing a song. I'm going to do something. Sing just a chorus, because.
A living just because.
Sing the chorus with us.
He lives.
Sing him.
Because he lives.
Because.